My goodness, thank you, band. Wonderful as usual. Very good. I think that was even a little special, though. Yeah, good choice. We did well there. Well, we are entering into a month of looking at faith. As you know, this year is focused on our 12 powers that you've heard so much about in Unity. So we'll be taking a whole year to go through the whole list of them. And we're beginning with faith. I was pleased to have Reverend Dr. Grace Telesco with us last week to get this month started. So she got a good foundation going there. And we're going to continue with that. Now, one of the things, I want to give you your homework ahead of time. I often give you homework at the end of the sermon, but I want to give it to you ahead of time. I want to encourage you to be looking around in the world for examples of faith. When you see people's lives, you see what people are doing, what's going on out there. Look to see if you can find an example of faith for you. This is not to, you know, to complete an assignment or write it down or anything like that, but just for you to say, that's what faith looks like, or that's not what faith looks like. And that comes out of you and your observation. So I'm going to give you some guidelines into exactly how to do that. Now, to begin with, the metaphysical definition of faith is maybe a little different than what we usually have. For most people, faith is equivalent to belief. And belief is this kind of slippery, shadowy kind of thing that we don't really know how to describe and don't know how to experience, really. So faith is usually something that slips around. Sometimes we think we have it. Sometimes we think we don't. Sometimes we're afraid we don't. And we don't have a real good grasp, at least in my experience of working with people. We as a whole don't have a very good grasp of what faith really is. So let's see if we can make that a little bit better. Now, metaphysically, we define faith as the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. Now, I know that you don't go around in the world looking for this definition manifesting somewhere, but perhaps we can change that a little bit. I think one of the issues that we have when we look to try to understand faith or try to see faith out in the world or see it for ourselves is that we tend to look at the second step first. We tend to look at the results of faith first. When there's somebody, you might say, well, that person has faith and has demonstrated faith, and they have completely transformed their life from rock bottom to the very, very top, and that's really impressive. So that's their faith. Or you might see somebody who has built a business from nothing. It's always inspiring to hear those stories about people who started out with, you know, $2 and a borrowed garage from their parents, that sort of thing, and build a booming business out of it. They say, well, that's faith in action. Yeah, that's faith right there. Or we see somebody who's created some kind of product, some kind of new thing that's gone out there and affected many people's lives. It's a big thing. Oh, that's faith there. The problem with that, in my experience of working with people, is that we look at those things and we get intimidated. And saying, oh yeah, they had faith and they made it happen, but they're special, they're different from me. I'm not that good, I don't have that much faith. And we end up not experiencing it and not utilizing this power that is within us all the time. Now the scripture says that, the scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it is through faith that we see what is not there. It is faith through which those people saw the possibility of transforming their lives before they transformed it. It was faith that allowed people to see the possibilities of building a business before there was ever a letterhead. It is faith that allowed people to create something that had not been seen before out of seemingly nothing. Because that's what faith really is seeing what is not there. And that's where we need to begin. Not with the result, not with the end, but with the beginning. Faith is that perceiving power of the mind. Faith is our ability to look out there and see something that is not there yet. To be able to look out and see something that nobody's heard of before, that nobody's thought of before. That is what faith is. Not the end result necessarily, but the beginning of it. And I think if we begin with that, as we look out into the world, we realize that there's a power active in the people who we admire out in the world. The people that we see that have been successful, people that have manifested their faith according to our examination, they began with this idea of what is not seen. So that's really important for us to be able to understand our dreams and our hopes and our desires, is that we perceive it before it is there. Now, this is another place where people tend to fall down, is that they think, oh, if I had enough faith. Well, Jesus, I think, made it very clear that it's not a matter of how much faith you have. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. And you remember, I know when I was a kid, it was fashionable to have a little mustard seed necklace that you wore around. And I was always impressed with that tiny little seed encapsulated in that glass bead that was on my sister's necklace. When Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go jump in the ocean and it will. He wasn't saying you need to measure your faith to see if you have that much. What he was saying is that the amount of faith is irrelevant. Because the faith is a power that is in you, period, not in measure. No one has any more faith than anyone else. It is an inherent power that is a part of our spiritual nature that is in us all the time. The difference is our awareness of it and how much we allow it to be active in our life. Again, not the amount, not whether or not you have it, but how are you using it and are you aware of it? Those are the important things. So let's keep that in mind as we look out into the world to see what's going on out there. Now, when we understand that first part, that first step, that important part, that we have that power in us at all times, then we can be open to the second part of faith. And that is that the perceiving power of mind is linked with the ability to shape substance. Now, substance is that stuff out of which everything is made. It's the basic material that scientists still haven't quite found for themselves to say, this is substance. It's there, nevertheless. It's that out of which, that field of energy out of which spirit created. And it is the field of energy out of which we create. When we have that perceiving power active in us and we see something that is possible in that field of possibilities, we then call forth the substance that embodies itself around that perception, around that understanding, and then it becomes manifest in our 3D world. And what I see happening sometimes is that people tend to go out and they're really hepped up and really excited, and they go and they create something out there. But if they don't have that perceiving power activated first, it won't last because there's nothing to support it. If there's not that ability active and operating to look out into the world and see what is not there yet, to know that it is there even though nobody else sees it, when we do see it, when we do understand, when we do perceive that there are things in this spiritual field of possibility that are mine to manifest, it is then that we can call substance to us to manifest around that idea, around that perception, around that seeing. And that has lasting effects in our human life. So I encourage you again this week as you go out and you look for examples in the world, keep this idea and this definition in mind, the perceiving power of the mind linked with our ability to shape substance. And again, it's not a matter of how much faith you have. You have it, and it's a matter of how aware you are and how much you're willing to use it. Now, I could go on talking about the metaphysical aspect of faith here, but I want to give you an illustration of it. We're at a very serendipitous moment here because we've had the intersection of two things. One is our examination, our study, our experience of faith, and the other is tomorrow's holiday. Tomorrow's holiday is a federal holiday to celebrate the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And believe it or not, he has given us a great example of faith and even the metaphysical aspect of it. Now, I doubt that he considered himself a metaphysician. And I don't know that I've ever heard anybody call him a metaphysician. He was a great leader. He was an inspiring teacher. He was an incredible preacher. But nobody's ever looked at him as a metaphysician. But let's see if he doesn't have some metaphysician hiding under there somewhere as we look at faith. Now, in August 28, 1963, Dr. King stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in front of some 250,000 people who were present, not counting those who were watching on television. And as he stood there, he shared a speech that has become incredibly famous all over the world. And let me see if I can make this work now. Technology. Aha, here we go. I want to share with you about 3 minutes of the speech that is known as the I Have a Dream speech. Actually, the speech is about 17 and a half minutes long, and only about 3 minutes of it had to do with I Have a Dream, but it's named that because of the impact that those words had. So listen to this, if you will.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. One day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, my country tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Incredibly moving. It's no wonder that it has stood the test of time. And believe it or not, in that speech, Dr. King talks to us about the metaphysical idea of faith. It's evident there if you know where to look. He says, I have a dream. And what he really says there is, my perceiving power is active. He had a dream of things that weren't existent in the moment. He had a dream of freedom. He had a dream of equality, a dream of justice, a dream of unity and harmony. And that was not present in his time in 1963, not as it should be. But he had the dream. He had the perception to be able to see it, though it was not yet manifested, though it had not yet been created. He saw it. That's faith, the perception of that which is not there. In April of 1968, about 5 years later, Dr. King was preparing another march on Washington right before he was assassinated. And the speech he gave that has come to be known as the mountaintop speech, he said, I have been to the mountaintop and I have looked over and I have seen the promised land. Once again, his perceiving power operating. The promised land was not in sight. The freedom that they sought was not in sight even yet. But he saw it. He perceived it. He discerned it. He had a dream about it. So this is faith in its most pure form. To see what is not there. To know what is not yet known. In these speeches, when he says, I have a dream, when he says, I've been to the mountaintop, when he says, I've seen the promised land, these are testimonies of that first step of faith, that perceiving power that was in him and in all of us. And it was clear that he intended for his dream to be other people's dreams. And from the response of hundreds of thousands of people, that dream was shared. The dream of freedom and equality and justice and unity. So we see that part of faith active and present right there. And then that second part of faith, which is the manifestation, which is drawing substance to the idea to make it real, happened as well. He said, this is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. He was talking about definite things, not just theoretical ideas, empty hopes, empty dreams. He was talking about the very real possibility of making this happen, and to some degree it happened. The flavor of civil rights in our country changed after this time. The laws changed after this time. I'd like to say all the bad laws were changed and all the bad behavior changed, but it didn't. But some did. There were individuals who were racist. There were individuals who lived in discrimination against others, against all kinds of minorities, that changed their mind because of this work. There were people whose lives were touched because what they saw happening. And their experience and faith happened all over again in them. They began to see something that was not there. They began to perceive the freedom that Dr. King talked about. They began to perceive the equality and the justice, the unity that was talked about in the movement. And they changed their minds and they acted differently. Yes, part of that happened. And that is a demonstration of faith. Dr. King went on to say, with this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Not only discerning and seeing what is not there, but doing the work to make it real. Doing the work, holding the consciousness that draws the substance to this idea that makes it real in our lives. We can talk about freedom, but when we use faith, we draw the substance to that idea of freedom to make it real in people's lives. We can talk about equality, but until we draw the substance to that idea of equality in our own heart and mind and in our own life, then it begins to happen. So faith is operating here and has been for a long, long time. But we see faith in the life and the work of Dr. King and those who followed him and those who walked a similar path as he did. That faith is this perceiving power of the mind, and this link to the ability to shape substance was fully and powerfully active in that movement. And it still is, because the work is not done. It's really interesting to talk to particularly white folks and talk about discrimination. And I've heard people say, oh, there's not any discrimination now. We're done with that. We got finished with that. Well, obviously, anybody who says that's not part of any minority anywhere, because that is not true. There is still discrimination. There is still hate. And we've still got work to do. And guess what? The faith is still there. There's a story told about Myrtle Fillmore. When the Fillmores were building Unity Village and they were going through a tough time, a tight time, and money was getting kind of scarce. And somebody said, let's pray that the money holds out. And Myrtle said, no, let's pray that our faith holds out. And what she meant was not that we'd have enough faith, but that we would be attuned to that faith. We would be able to see the money that was not there, and we would be able to draw the substance to that idea and manifest it out into reality. And they did, because we have the Unity movement, because of that idea, because of the thing, because of faith. So as you look out into the world and you look at history and you say, there's faith in operation. Somewhere along the way, someone saw what was not there, and with their consciousness, they drew the substance to that idea so that it was manifested. And that's what will happen with discrimination. When we see the possibility, the real possibility in our world of true freedom, when we perceive the reality before it is there of equality, and justice and unity. And then we begin to draw with our consciousness the elements of substance to that idea, and it begins to manifest out in reality. We will see change in our world, powerful change, because of faith. Now, one of the reasons I want you to look around in the world and see examples in the world is so you can look at yourself too. Not in a critical way, but look for people who are like you. Look for people who aren't big in our ideas. They weren't there always. They didn't start there. The people who are very, very successful, the people who have manifested amazing things through the action of faith, started out with that discernment of something that wasn't there. Very simple, very basic. And that's something that every one of us can do as well. We have a faith. There's no question about whether we have it or not. How aware are we of it, and how are we willing to utilize our consciousness and draw the substance to those ideas and make them real in our world? That takes work. It takes willingness. It takes being scared sometimes. It takes getting out of your comfort zone sometimes. It takes confronting people sometimes. But it is ours to do. So as you look into your heart and give yourself credit that you have faith, I just had a picture popped into my mind. When my son was small and watching cartoons on Saturday morning, I don't know whether there are even cartoons around anymore like that, but one of the cartoons that was on was He-Man. And He-Man had a rival Skeletor, and they were always going to battle with each other. And when it came time to do battle, He-Man would stand up and take his sword and hold it up in the air and say, I have the power! And then, of course, the power would come, and they'd go to it, and he would kick a Skeletor. He would beat up Skeletor and make Skeletor run away. I just had an image of each one of you standing in front of a mirror somewhere, probably alone, unless you have somebody you're willing to share this with. Look in the mirror, look at yourself, and raise your hand and say, I have the power. Because you do. I dare you. to do that every morning for a week and see what happens. You have the power of faith. You have the power of discernment, of understanding, of vision, of dreaming. And you have the power to shape substance to those ideas. That is mine. It is yours. It is ours. And it is faith. And faith always has been. Faith always will be. And it is yours right now.
What are we going to do with our faith this week? You know, it's been a long haul of coronavirus and social and political divisions, and we can feel bogged down with it. But we can have the power to choose to have a happy day, to choose to put a smile on our face, to choose just the simplest of things that's going to open that field of possibilities towards a new and brighter day. One of those possibilities is to share what you have with Unity of Pompano Beach. We rely on your contributions. That's our only source of income. And we want to continue because our dream is to not just be a Sunday morning worship service, which is a lot of fun. If you haven't experienced our warm community, do come out for that. But we want to be a bigger presence. Now we're all learning how to utilize the many forms of internet. We can be a bright light shining all over the world. So please, send your donations and keep us rolling here so we may invest in some bigger technology and staff and continue on spreading our word and our message of faith. With gratitude, we thank you so very much, those of you who have continued giving throughout this entire past year and many years before that. We thank you. And let's look at the website donate button, utilize that, utilize any of the other ways, bill pay, whatever, to keep us foremost in your mind as you allocate your spending every week, every month. So let's bless the offerings that we do give. The good is mine blessing is one that we've used for many years, and we rely on it because it exemplifies our faith, that good abounds everywhere and we call it forth. So we give up any form and feeling of lack, and we know that with God, abundance is ours. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.